Alrighty, InfoWarriors, you are now watching The War Room, only on InfoWars. That's band.video. I am your guest host here for the first hour, Drew Hernandez, and we've got a lot of intel that we will be getting into immediately with a massive day, historic day, obviously being broken all over the internet. We will be getting into multiple subjects, obviously the Middle East peace deal, the Trump-Gaza peace deal. We'll be discussing that, its implications. We'll see just exactly where that goes. And we're taking a look at the past few hours, President Trump in Israel. I think he's already boarded Air Force One and is en route back to the United States of America. But the entire world is watching. All eyes are on Israel. All eyes are on Hamas, what's going to happen in Palestine, because we are in phase one right now of the Trump-Gaza peace deal. And President Trump also did inform the world today that after the phase one was signed and agreed to, Netanyahu was not there, which was pretty interesting. We'll get into that as well. What are those implications? But phase two is going to get interesting. Phase two is going to get interesting, and we're going to be discussing this, unpacking all of this intel on top of what is going down currently, potentially between Russia and Ukraine, as we do have some escalations. We'll see what the Trump administration can accomplish on that front. Obviously, what we want as humans, what we want as Americans, is no longer being tied to these never-ending wars, because we've got to always, we've got to flip the price tag. And when we do engage, American blood has to be spilled, and we never really get anything in return. It never really pays off. So we'll be discussing that on top of several other issues and some of the news that may be falling a little under the radar because of the whole Israel peace deal between Gaza. But we will also be discussing some Mamdani, some news that's broken today with Zoran Mamdani, taking thousands of dollars from over 150, 170 foreign donors for his mayoral race. We'll be getting into that as well, on top of even what we're seeing in the mainstream media, which is not a surprise to anybody, to be honest with you. When you're seeing Jimmy Kimmel, you're seeing these mainstream media talking heads all in unison, and we've all seen the videos where they're all reading from the teleprompter, they're getting their talking points. You could literally line up the clips. I'm pretty sure you've seen thousands of those here on InfoWars. But we've got a new one recently where they are all saying yet again the same talking point, that Antifa is not real. Antifa is a myth, and Antifa is just simply an idea. And I will be getting into just exactly why I think that's continuing, even though President Trump has declared Antifa a domestic terrorist organization and identifying them as a foreign terrorist organization, which is accurate, which is important. We've seen these Antifa roundtable meetings at the White House. We're still talking about this as to whether or not Antifa is dangerous or not. I think a lot of Americans are really sick of the talk. I think a lot of Americans are ready for some serious and swift action. We know the Trump administration has been discussing invoking the Insurrection Act. I think that is way long overdue, and this is coming from someone that extensively covered Portland Antifa undercover on the ground, Seattle, Kenosha, New York, California, extensive experience. And I would say that it is way long overdue. I think the Insurrection Act is absolutely the go-to as of right now. We are seeing the rise of these leftist psychopaths in Chicago. They're still in Portland. And we are seeing some federal agents being deployed. DHS is upping their efforts. But what needs to happen is a mass swift crackdown, because the system, particularly in Portland, and maybe there are people that are discovering for the very first time that the Portland Police Department is infected with Antifa. The local so-called elected government, the mayor, the crooked so-called judicial system, the mainstream media, the local media. Antifa's in all of it. And maybe people are finding out that out for the very first time. But we're going to discuss all of this today on The War Room, exclusively only on InfoWars. Share all the links. Get it done right now. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones, Patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
All righty, InfoWarriors, we are back, as I said. Before we ended our last segment, please make sure to reshare these links. If you're watching this on X, if you're watching this on Rumble, Band.video, wherever you may be watching this, please make sure to blast these links, share them. If you do share them on X, tag me on X at Drew H Live, reshare them. I'll reshare them on my own X feed as well. But let's get into the intel. Okay, let's begin with the Middle East situation. So now we've got phase one in the books. You do have a lot of Israelis, you see them on X, that are complaining that Hamas hasn't fully delivered the hostages because there are still some bodies that have not been identified, or there are still some hostages that have not been identified as dead. But a lot of Israelis believe they are dead, but they still want the bodies of their loved ones. And for the record, President Trump achieving this hostage exchange is obviously a victory. The hostage exchange is a good thing for the sake of human beings and families that obviously wanted their loved ones back. This is a big bargaining chip, a big point of, I would say, manipulation on the part of Benjamin Netanyahu. I'm pretty sure all of you guys saw the viral clips over the weekend, the night before the hostage exchange in Israel. You had Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, and you had a bunch of guest speakers. And every time Benjamin Netanyahu's name was brought up, the Israelis booed, and they booed loud. But when President Trump's name was brought up, they all cheered. I think that's, you could point to that as some kind of political bias. Maybe that's more liberal-leaning type of Israelis. They don't like the hard right stance of Netanyahu or the Netanyahu coalition. Sure. But clearly you do also see that there are a lot of Israelis that are fed up with Benjamin Netanyahu as well. And I find that to be particularly interesting because anyone in the United States of America, and everybody knows that this is true, if you simply just have a criticism of Benjamin Netanyahu, you have a criticism of the Netanyahu policy or stance or the Netanyahu coalitions, you get called an anti-Semite, you get called Jew hater, you get called woke right, which, by the way, Netanyahu has redefined what woke right means, by the way. He's now calling it woke Reich. Yeah, you're a Nazi. Like, I've never heard that one before. How original. However, I do find it interesting that that was happening before the hostage exchange. I think it does indicate that we've known for a while there are Israelis that are fed up with Benjamin Netanyahu. They really are. They find this war only creating more hostility towards the so-called modern state of Israel. The hostility and the lack of geopolitical support on the world stage. We've been watching this unfold for the past 2 years, particularly after October 7th. And you could pretty much see that a lot of Israelis themselves are finding that the war is creating more problems and the hostages are not coming home. So I just think from that perspective, on the topic of the hostage exchange, President Trump coming in and fulfilling that, delivering on that, is huge. However, I think it also does point to the reality and the fact that maybe this could have been done a long time ago. And a lot of people are asking those questions. A lot of people are wondering, is this something that maybe could have been accomplished a long time ago? Did it really have to go this long? Now, we all know And President Trump has claimed multiple times that if he were president between 2020 and 2024, that this wouldn't have happened. Speculative. We know particularly that when it comes to the Netanyahu-Israeli coalition, they don't care if it's a Democrat. They don't care if it's a Republican president. All they care is if they are getting their money's worth when it comes to how much was given to that candidate to be where they are. And we saw that in President Trump's speech. We literally saw President Trump naming his Jewish donors by name in his speech in Israel to the Knesset. But now we have President Trump has officially signed the historic Middle East peace deal. And the entire world is watching to see two things. The hostage situation, great. Like I said, that's a good thing for families. That's a good thing for human beings. And but what's next is going to be very interesting. What's next, I think, is going to define a lot. And what comes next is, I think, really going to kind of determine what President Trump does next. And I'm actually really curious to see what his response would be. He seems confident when he signed the phase one historic Middle East peace deal. He was claiming multiple times, even when this was announced, when Netanyahu was in the White House with him, I think it was last week or the week before, President Trump keeps calling this some kind of eternal peace, some kind of everlasting peace, long lasting. This is going to hold. He said this today. This is going to hold. Now, I think from a biblical perspective, especially if you're a dispensationalist or not, just taking a look at the scope of the Bible, we are not going to have a holding everlasting eternal peace until the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, returns. That's a biblical fact. And so it's going to be interesting to see which direction this goes. And by the way, as a Christian, okay, as a Christian, we are to pursue peace at all times. Just because we know the eternal peace is coming not until Jesus Christ returns doesn't mean we as Christians don't pursue peace with all people. We do. But when I hear Trump out there saying we're going to have an eternal peace and this is going to hold, that's not realistic. And I find that to be misleading and pretty much deceptive, if you ask me, from a biblical standpoint, right? But we are still to pursue peace, even if that's temporary. Like the Bible says, there is a time for war. There is a time for peace, meaning you're going to have these types of seasons taking place in this timeline that we all live in until the second coming of Christ. He will establish the Prince of Peace. He will establish his eternal kingdom, the eternal peace of eternity, right? And his name is Jesus Christ, not Donald Trump. So people, I think, fairly are taking a look at this. I've been listening to Israeli media for a while, and especially these days leading up to what happened today with phase one. And also taking a look at the statements, there are Palestinian Hamas representatives speaking to the media. And what I am seeing in the general consensus, which is pretty interesting, and I think the whole world is very interested to see how this goes. And President Trump seems to be pretty confident. Obviously, he knows a lot more than we do pertaining to, you know, what's going on with this deal and the sequence of events, etc. But the general consensus right now, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens, is the Israelis don't believe that Hamas is going to fully disarm and disband. The Israelis don't believe, and this is all in Trump's deal. And Hamas and the Palestinians don't believe that the Israelis are going to completely, now there's still going to be some type of military perimeters at the end of Trump's plan if all goes according to plan, but also in Trump's plan, you do see that there is a possibility of some kind of Palestinian statehood so they can form their own government. They can form their own coalitions, etc. Now, obviously, we've seen this happen before. We've already been down this road before, especially if you've been around for a while. And so that's why the whole world, you see both sides are already very, very, very speculative as to whether or not the other side will actually fulfill their end of the deal. So the big question, I think, is pretty obvious, is Will the Israelis give up the land that they believe is entitled to them? Will the Israelis give up the land that clearly they have been annexing for the past 2 years? And they want to continue that, by the way. Netanyahu clearly wants to continue that. His coalition in Israel, clearly with the greater Israel agenda, that's what they want. This isn't all about Hamas. And even the, you know, Christian Zionists and the dispensationalists out there, your eschatology would actually line up with that. I don't agree with that because I have different eschatology. But clearly this is not just about Hamas. And Hamas and the Palestinians, they're viewing this and they don't believe the Israelis that have clearly been on the war path and they have been seeking to deliver on the greater Israel agenda for obviously geopolitical and global reasons, for all power, right? And they have their own eschatology as well in order for the Messiah that they are awaiting for, it's a false Messiah. They've got to be in the original biblical borders. That's one of the prerequisites that has to happen in order for them to have their Messiah have the type of environment, the ingredients to say for that to take place. And it's just interesting when you get like the Christian Zionists like all on board with that. And you're like, dude, we've already had our Messiah. They're waiting for their Messiah, which is going to be a false Messiah. Christ Jesus is the Messiah. Why are you supporting an anti-Christ agenda, even in your own dispensationalist theology? That's kind of wild. But what's interesting too, and what we've seen almost immediately, is even in President Trump's speech to the Knesset in Israel this morning in Israel, or in the afternoon, he's calling for a pardon for Netanyahu. Now, obviously, a lot of Israelis, like I said, they're not a big fan of Netanyahu. They view him as a criminal. They view him as a war criminal. They view him as someone that has damaged their reputation geopolitically. And it's just interesting. Now, President Trump, you know, it's speculative. Why is President Trump calling in front of the Israeli government for Netanyahu to receive a pardon? Now, obviously, you could sit there and say, well, why would anyone need a pardon if they're not guilty of anything, right? Makes sense. But we all know we've been watching this war criminals, war crimes for the past, let's just say, 2 years to start, right? So clearly, this is not some kind of innocent individual, all right? But also at the same time, calling for a pardon, President Trump calling for a pardon for Netanyahu. Now, is he doing that on purpose just so he could have some kind of leverage over Netanyahu? That's entirely possible because we got to think politically here, geopolitically as well. Did Trump do that for leverage? Did he do that for optics? So we can take that off of the table. So maybe that can't be used against him. Maybe possibly. Or is this all a part of the optics of where we are going with this? Because when this deal was announced, I believe last week, when they interrupted their roundtable Antifa meeting, Marco Rubio came in, whispered to President Trump, we've got to deal with Israel. We can't deal with the domestic terrorism here in the United States. We got to wrap this up. We got to deal with Israel. Israel first. Come on. Wrapped up the roundtable Antifa meeting. No, we can't address the terrorism here. We got to go deal with Israel. Israel first. It was interesting because that same night, I believe President Trump did a Fox News interview and he was already saying that everyone loves Israel again. He was saying that Netanyahu was telling him that people like him again. And it's a very strange, I mean, that doesn't even seem possible, right? Like less than 24 hours when this deal is being solidified, it's being agreed to on both ends. It's looking like this is where we're going to go. Obviously, we know that there is a massive PR, let's just call it that. There is a massive PR problem for the Israelis, the Zionists, and the pro-Israel side of things. And I just find it interesting that you have the president of the United States immediately coming out and saying, everyone loves Israel again. And Netanyahu is saying everyone likes him again. How is that even possible? Like it's a switch that just gets flipped. It makes you feel like something is being done in order to get you to that conclusion, right? And these are good questions to ask. And that's why, again, and then when you factor in, well, what exactly is going to happen? What is that? What exactly is going to happen? Because if the Israelis are really going to fulfill their end of the deal, they're going to have to allow the Palestinians to govern themselves. They've got to remove themselves from a lot of the land that they've demolished and they've advanced on. Will they do that? Will Netanyahu, will the Israelis actually do that? Will they actually give up that land? Maybe strategically to regroup, restock, repropagandize the world. Maybe that's the deal. Who knows? But again, people are saying, well, is Hamas actually going to disarm, disband, demilitarize? Is that actually going to happen? We did see over the weekend, there were some Hamas Palestinian representatives saying, well, you know, the only way that's going to happen is if we can create, or the Palestinian people can create, their own type of security forces to defend themselves, right? So you're already seeing some pretty heavy, very heavy disagreeing and conflicting going on, which, by the way, is not a surprise. This is the Middle East. this is a conflict between Jews and Muslims, all right? This has been going on for a very long time, and I don't see it wrapping up. Like I said, we can have seasons of peace. We can, and at the same time, we can have these, you know, eras of peace, which is a great thing, which is a good thing, especially for the United States of America. But again, I will say that, you know, President Trump coming out and stating that this is some kind of eternal peace that's going to stick is very misleading. And I'm not buying that for a second. I'm not. However, at the end of the day, I think what is clear here for a lot of Americans, millions of Americans, I think what is abundantly clear here is that the general consensus is that Americans do not want this anymore. We don't want to be involved. We don't want to pay for this anymore. We're tired of seeing this done in our name by our taxpayer dollars. And by the way, if this thing really is over, is it over? Can we cut the aid? Can we cut the foreign aid? Do I have to keep paying for this? Do I have to keep flipping bills for the modern state of Israel and their so-called security? Do I have to keep doing this? Because if this is really over, if this is a long-lasting peace, can I please save my money now? I think a lot of Americans are really sick of this. I mean, why do we even need AIPAC? Why do we even need any PACs? Why do we need any foreign PACs, any foreign lobbies? Why do we need any domestic lobbies? If this really is over and this era is over, I think it is absolutely time to put an end to all of it. All of it. I don't take issue with just AIPAC. I take issue with all of it. Any foreign lobby. I take issue with any American lobby. Just because it's American, it's somehow a good thing. I mean, what happened to 2016 when President Trump was coming out swinging? Do you remember those days when President Trump came out swinging, saying, I am not bought and paid for. We're done with the lobbies. We're not taking money from lobbies. We're going to be funded by the American people. I'm not bought and paid for. Therefore, I can't be controlled. No more lobbies. The lobbies are the reason why we have these problems. What happened to that? Now you've been psyoped into believing, oh, AIPAC, it's an American lobby. You're just a Jew hater. Wow. You haven't been psyoped to accept lobbies now that are controlling the electoral process. They don't represent the American people. They don't represent your vote. They don't represent your voice. No, they represent whoever is giving the money, whether that's foreign, whether that's domestic. I don't care. It doesn't represent the United States people. It doesn't represent you, and everybody knows it. I mean, are you really going to get to a place where you're defending lobbies now? Why? Just because you don't want to be accused of being called an anti-Semite? Why can't we do away with all of it? I don't care if it's a so-called American lobby. A lot of those people have dual citizenship. And anyone that wants to come through and say, well, you only care about AIPAC. What about all the other ones? Ban them all. Ban them all. How do you think the United States of America gets so manipulated on a daily basis? with all of these politicians that are bought and paid for on both sides. You see this in the Democrat Party. You see this in the Republican Party. And you see this throughout all of U.S. culture. You see all this infiltration. You see all these influencers getting bought and paid for. It's not just in politics. It's in culture. It's in social media in general, where you have these foreign dollars that are coming in. And listen, dude, wherever it's coming from, if it's coming from a foreign Arab country influence, if it's coming from a Muslim, I don't care. If it's coming from China, if it's coming from Ukraine, if it's coming from Russia, I don't care. It's either we're America first. We're at the point of America only right now. A lot of people feel that way because we are being so gutted like a damn animal. We are being gutted like a damn animal, and the American taxpayer, the everyday American like you and me, we're not billionaires. Okay? We're not multimillionaires. When these people want to have another damn 2-year war or a 12-day war, whatever it may be in the Middle East, I don't care. I have to pay for it. You have to pay for it. And that's what I'm saying. The American people are sick of this. The generational shift is happening, whether the older generation wants to admit it or not. You don't have to agree. You could disagree. You don't have to say it's right. You can say it's right. Whatever. It's happening. It's literally happening. And this generational shift is happening, and you're watching it happen. And it's just interesting how you have a lot of these people out here, especially, and by the way, if you are in the older generation and this is not you, thank you. Seriously, thank you. Because you get like these rabid, like MAGA Zionist boomers, and it's strange. Like, you're just supposed to support Israel no matter what, even if you are going bankrupt as a nation. Even if your nation is in over $32 trillion in debt, you must still give all of your money to this cause. Because if not, you're not obeying God. You're not supporting God. You are not obeying God's word. God is going to curse you. And then at the same time, you tell these Zoomers and a lot of these millennials that have been affected because of this foreign policy for the past 70 years, and it's destroyed our economy. It's destroyed our economic value as U.S. Americans, and we are cooked. You can't turn around and tell the Zoomers, why are you guys like this? Why are you guys asking questions? You can't tell the millennials, especially the right wing, why are you guys asking these questions? Why are you doing this? Because this has been going on for like the past 70 years, and it's cooked us. And you're wondering why the next generation is asking for a change? Hey, maybe that's your blind spot. And if your response to that is, well, you just hate Jews. That's what it is. Really? I guess you're just not allowed to ask any questions. I guess you're just not allowed to free think. Well, that has definitely changed. And like I said, President Trump, his administration securing this hostage exchange is a great thing. It's a great thing for families that have lost their family members that will be reunited. And that's something to be grateful for. Now, like I said, when it comes to this eternal peace, we will see, chat. We will definitely see. We got a lot more intel we will be covering here on the first hour of the War Room when we come back on the other side. If you are watching this on X, wherever you are watching this, guys, please make sure to blast the links. But if you are watching on X, reshare, tag me at Drew H Live. I'm going to reshare them right now. We'll be right back.
You're not going to talk to me and talk over me, non-New York residents, because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago, I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, it'll easily be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs, and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, but I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. We've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing, but it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon, and that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com itself. So again, thank you all for your support, and there's more.
But wait, there's more!
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue this tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Tree will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Alrighty, InfoWarriors, we are back. You are back. We are so back. You are now watching the War Room. I am your guest host for today, for the first hour, Drew Hernandez. Want to invite you guys right now to make sure to follow me on X. That's at Drew H Live. You guys can find me on my Rumble channel, rumble.com/Drew Hernandez. I'm the only verified Drew Hernandez on there. Rumble.com/Drew Hernandez. You can catch Drew Hernandez live Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. We go hard in the paint. I know you guys are ready for that, but let's continue. I want to show you guys just exactly what I am talking about. And here's President Trump earlier today making some pretty interesting statements that there will never be a World War III. I think we have that clip. Let's take a look.
Can we get the documents, please? Okay.
Okay. You will sign them right here.
Okay. Okay.
So this is President Trump signing the first phase peace deal.
This took 3,000 years to get to this point. Can you believe it? And it's going to hold up, too. It's going to hold up.
Going to hold up. But there's the first one. I think we also have another clip of President Trump saying there will never be a World War III if we've got that one. I did send it to you guys.
We're going to make sure that the Middle East is going to be a safe and secure place. It's a very important place in the world. It means so much. There were so many people who said the Middle East, and this has been going for many, many decades. I've read it many times that World War III will begin in the Middle East. It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. There was a time that you would have thought it could have, but it's not going to happen. There won't be World War III, hopefully at all. But it's not going to start in the Middle East. We're not going to have a World War III if we're smart. It'll never be a World War III. Our work begins right here and right now from...
Well, there we are. There will never be a World War III. He says hopefully. Now, we know Trump's got a big ego. We know Trump and he's talked about this many times, right? His pride is obviously there. But I do think that's a pretty, pretty, pretty big prediction to try to make, is that there will never be a World War III, particularly in the Middle East. Now, like I said, when you do take a look at eschatology, you do see a lot of major conflicts going down, particularly in the Middle East, world conflicts going down. So... will Trump be right or will he be wrong? I think the Bible is pretty clear on that. Let God be true and every man a liar, right? But we also have this as well. I mean, this has been a major topic of discussion over the past 24 hours. We've got this on Infowars.com. U.S. long-range missiles may trigger Russian nuclear response as NATO launches nuclear drills. Adding heat to the atomic threat fire, NATO kicked off their annual nuclear war drills on Monday, and the military organization's Secretary General Mark Rutte said these drills send a clear signal to any potential adversary. The bloc has reassured the world that no nuclear weapons will be used in the drill. On Monday, Russia's deputy chairman of the Security Council, Dmitry M, said that if President Donald Trump gives Ukraine long-range Tomahawk missiles, which are capable of carrying nuclear payloads, Russia may be forced to respond. The Russian official hinted that the response may even be nuclear in nature. Notably, Russia's current doctrine allows a nuclear response to non-nuclear threats. So what's interesting about this is, while you've got President Trump, and by the way, this is what a lot of people voted Trump in to do, and that's to put an end to these conflicts. Avoid World War III. Avoid a nuclear disaster. Avoid a mass casualty event on planet Earth. And clearly we had this big war started in Russia and Ukraine, and America's been sucked into it, and we're paying billions of dollars, and obviously the same situation that we were sucked into between the Palestinians, Hamas, and the Israelis. And so now it's going to be interesting to see where now we have another escalation. We know, we all know that Vladimir Putin is not a stupid person. He's not a stupid man. He's a very strategic, smart, clever, geopolitically clever individual. And while President Trump is dealing with situations, obviously, in the Middle East, and President Trump, we did have that big meeting, what, maybe about a month, a couple months ago? We did have the peace summit between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. And we were supposed to see the next big step, which was meant to be a big, highly publicized and public meeting between Zelensky, Putin. And we know President Trump at the time was saying we were going to have a trilateral meeting. And it seems they may have had and run into some issues pertaining that subject, but also at the same time, you know, I do think, you know, President Trump's intentions are clear, wanting to stop a mass slaughter and the United States of America having to pay for this and flip this bill as always. But now we have another escalation. And the big question is, what is the administration going to do now? What will the response be, especially after this peace summit? One thing I do know about President Trump, watching him just fully activated in U.S. politics the past 10 years, the man does not like to be humiliated. The man does not like to be wrong. And clearly, if this escalates and goes in this direction, the president is going to have a massive problem on his hands. He seems to be pretty fed up with Zelensky at times. He seems to be pretty fed up with Putin at times. And I think maybe President Trump underestimated just how difficult this was going to be. And he has stated that publicly multiple times, that this seems to be a little more complicated than it actually was going to be. Still not a war he started. Still not a war he started. But at the end of the day, like I said, with the same situation that we see unfolding over in the Middle East, the same general consensus for the American people is we just don't want this anymore, meaning we don't want our involvement. We don't want our tax dollars going to it. We don't want to be lectured as Americans. If we don't have a certain flag in our bio or not, then we're not truly Americans, even though we have an American flag in our bio. Well, if you don't got the Ukraine flag as well, you're not really American. If you don't have the Israeli flag as well, you're not really American. Yeah, the American people are sick of that. Honestly, they really are. And it's gotten to the point where it literally is the equivalent of a bunch of deranged leftists calling you a Nazi and calling you a fascist simply because you don't submit to what they want you to not only believe, but to publicly represent when it comes to your stances or beliefs. But we will see what the situation brings now, as all eyes are going to be on the escalated situation between Russia and Ukraine now in the region, which is massive, which is huge. But we all know the end goal is the same for all America. Like I said, no more involvement, no more involvement, especially, you know what else is a ridiculous kind of attack on Americans, where if you don't pick a side, you don't want to pay for these wars with your taxpayer money. What they also do to you as well is they do like these social attacks where if you appear to not be fully on board, well, then you're not really MAGA. You're not really American. If you're not on board with this, and the GOP loves to do this, the Republicans love to do this, especially when it comes to the war pigs and the war hawks, the Lindsey Grahams of the world and the Randy Fines of the world. If you are not on board with what they tell you to be on board when it comes to our allies, so any war, people like Mike Pence, any war that is launched that we get behind, all these congressional massive bills stuffed with all kinds of pork, all of your money going overseas. We're tired of it. Why does it have to continue to go this way? Why do we have to continue to be manipulated by foreign powers and be expected to represent ourselves as America first when that's clearly not taking place on so many levels, not just in politics, but even in culture? In culture, you see this in everyday life. You see this in the media. You see this in Hollywood. You see it all over the place, right? And it's a cult-like mentality. It really is. It's a cult-like mentality. And we're at the point right now where American identity is being clearly defined, ironed out. And I'm going to be honest with you, having some kind of foreign component in that, where if you don't have a foreign acceptance, meaning you are not fully behind this foreign X, Y, and Z, you're not truly American, those days are over. They really are. And the GOP is clearly miscalculating this. They are clearly miscalculating this. I think this is why you're kind of seeing this phenomenon continue with TPUSA right now. You're seeing all these viral videos. It's not stopping. You're just seeing lines and lines. Glenn Beck is up there. There's several. Megyn Kelly was up there. The, what was that kid's name? Brylan Hollyland or whatever. The so-called next Charlie Kirk. This isn't going away. It's not going away. And they're being pressed. They're being asked these questions about why and how are we America first when we are told to have some kind of foreign allegiance. Allies is one thing. Allies is one thing. Nobody's saying it's wrong or bad to have allies. But what these people have done is they've pinned you into a corner where if you are not 100% on board with the foreign policy, meaning war and billions and trillions of dollars, no matter what, to the end, you're not truly America first. Oh. That's generational thinking, and it's being challenged harshly. It's being challenged publicly. And when I say harshly, is it looks brutal when you see these people that are just not able to really give a great answer. I mean, Vivek's been getting pressed. Glenn Beck has been getting pressed. All of them. And I don't think this is going to stop anytime soon. And I think it's pretty clear. TPUSA is going to have to, they're going to have to really update. It's okay to debate. That's what we want. That's what Charlie would have wanted. And I think that's where Charlie was going. But may the best debate win. The best debate will win. And that's why many times they have to resort to censorship. They've got to resort to debanking. You guys know this on the InfoWar. Everybody knows this. Everything they've done to Alex Jones and InfoWars over the years. But particularly on this subject as well. That's exactly where they've gone. That's why TikTok has been purchased, acquired, and Netanyahu said this in a meeting with a bunch of Zionist Jewish Israeli influencers. TikTok has to be acquired, the most important purchase, and X as well, for the propaganda war. But like I said, all foreign involvement, it's gotta be ended. All of it. Every single aspect of it. And I think that's exactly where the next generation definitely wants to go, because that's where so many of our problems are coming from. So many of these shills in the Republican Party and so many of these shills in the Democrat Party, you see this in the media, the fake news media, even in the alternative media, you see this. People taking foreign money. They're doing the bidding for foreign countries. Why? And then we're lectured that we're not America first because we don't like it. Or we're lectured we're not America first because we don't agree with it. You're not even allowed not to like something that's foreign anymore. And they wonder why they're losing the youth. They wonder why they're losing the next generation. Are we really America first? Here's another great example. Mamdani campaign takes in $13,000 from 170 foreign donors. That's Zoran Mamdani running in New York City. His campaign has taken in around $13,000 from 170 foreign donors for his mayoral race. New York City socialist mayoral candidate Zoran Mamdani has received nearly $13,000 in donations from foreign sources, which could violate campaign finance laws. Wow, shocker. According to a report by the New York Post, records show that at least 170 of the roughly 54,000 contributions to Mamdani's campaign came from donors outside the United States. Under federal, state, and city law, only U.S. citizens and permanent residents are allowed to contribute to political campaigns or political action committees. Candidates are required to return any illegal donations and knowingly accepting, this is the post-millennial, by the way, love their work, and knowingly accepting foreign contributions can result in fines and imprisonment. So far, Mamdani's campaign has refunded $5,608 worth of foreign contributions, but reportedly has yet to return 88 of the identified foreign donations. Among the refunded contributions was a $500 donation from Mamdani's mother-in-law, Baraya Dari, who listed her address as a hospital in Dubai, where she works. In a statement Saturday to the New York Post, Mamdani's campaign said, "We will, of course, return any donations that are not in compliance with CFB law." Now, again, here's yet another example of someone running for office that will most likely be installed. I don't know if anyone's actually going to vote for this guy. This guy's very unpopular, obviously, with all the commies and the socialists and the leftist retards in New York City and the Muslims he may be, but we'll see how that turns out. He'll most likely be installed, as we really do have to do some heavy lifting and fix these rigged elections, which is going to be pretty tough to do in states like New York, California, deep blue regions that are conquered territory for sure, occupied. But here is yet another example of yet again foreign money coming into a so-called American campaign, it being exposed. What exactly will be done about it, right? Because this is what we're seeing. This is what we're seeing across the entire board. This is what we're seeing. And like I said, not only with Democrats and the Democrat apparatus, in the GOP apparatus as well. We're seeing it on both sides. And especially when you obviously have a Muslim guy running for mayor is going to make a lot of Jewish people nervous in New York City. And you're definitely seeing that dynamic taking place as well with Mr. Zoran Mamdani. I definitely think that New York City is already cooked. But New York City, if you get a guy like this as your mayor, will most likely be installed. I think you're definitely going to see an even increased downfall of New York under a corrupt individual like this, which, by the way, this is why they choose these people. They are blackmailed. They are corrupt. They're willing to violate their conscience. They're obviously unethical. They're obviously sinister. They're obviously compromised. But that's exactly why they're selected, because that's how they are controlled. And no matter where the dark money or the foreign money is coming from, like I said, it's all got to go. No matter where it's coming from, the end result will be the same. The ones that are funding the individual, the ones that are manipulating the individual, the ones that are, and when I say manipulating, manipulating supporters through the individual, the ones that are propping these people up are the ones that are going to get their money's worth. And like I said, this is what a lot of Americans are definitely picking up on, and they want to put a stop to it. This cannot go on any longer. Because you can't have some kind of dual leadership. You can't have some kind of dual loyalty. It's not going to happen. Because American interest will always conflict. Now, there may be times where you do have an ally or you are in that situation and the Americans and another country both have the same interest, especially economically, right? We see Trump operate this way all the time. But what happens when individuals like this are put in a position where they have to choose? Do we put America first or do we put fill in the blank first? Who do we listen to in this subject? And this is why I said earlier, like I said, no matter where it's coming from, if it's coming through an Israeli lobby, a Muslim lobby, Russian, Ukraine, wherever, a Mexican lobby, I don't care, wherever it's coming from, this is the position that these people will be put in. And it's problematic because it does not consider the American people. It will consider the foreign nation first. Now, I know this is basic for a lot of people to understand, but this seems to be repeatedly coming out. This seems to be repeatedly being exposed, repeatedly displayed for the American people to see. And the big question people are asking themselves is, well, when does it stop? When does it end? When does it really end? When does it really stop on all fronts? How is this helping us? How is this benefiting the American people? And I think people are naive, honestly. I do. I think there may be people out there that are a bit naive and they think, ah, that's just conspiratorial. Are there really discussions like that taking place? Are there really people in the U.S. government? I mean, listen, I'll just tell you this. Maybe you're a Republican. Maybe it's hard for you to see and connect those dots that that's actually taking place in the GOP. But if you think for one second, I mean, I just showed you a Democrat candidate taking foreign money. If you don't think for one second, I mean, look at Swallow, Eric Swallows and all, all these other plans that are connected to China, even in the GOP, people like Mitch McConnell, the list goes on, right? But if you think for one second that's not happening in the Democrat Party, I think you're cooked. But it's not about left or right, is it? It's never been about left or right. It's never going to be about left or right. The Uniparty is a psyop to keep you in that matrix. So you keep thinking that way. So you never look outside or question, are these establishment entities, are they actually working together? How is it that Republicans and Democrats, they'll unify over foreign matters, but not American ones? How is it that Americans can sit back and watch them be betrayed by Republicans and Democrats simultaneously at the same time? They will unify over matters when it comes to foreign ones. But when it comes to anything benefiting the American people, it's always America last. And then you come out, like I said, you come out and you express your displeasure with that. Fill in the blank. You don't like that there is some kind of Muslim lobby bringing in foreign money. Wow, you are a xenophobe. You are Islamophobic. That's what you are. You don't like AIPAC. You don't like that there's clearly an Israeli connection in AIPAC. They think you're dumb. Like, come on, dude, it's dual citizenship. That's how they get away with it and call it American. I don't like any of the lobbies. I like none of them. I don't want it anymore. I don't think anybody wants it anymore. I think that was the general consensus in 2016. I'll say that again. But like I said, when will this end? When will this end? And I think right now we are getting to that place in the United States of America where the next generation is calling for this. They're going to call for this in their candidates. They're going to call for this because they're sick of watching it. The Uniparty works against the American people. Now, there's going to be things they do here and there that are good, but I mean, really think about just how much the GOP has been dragging their feet. And Trump has been having to battle them to get things done. Look what happened with the big, beautiful bill and how long that took. Are Republicans really your friends? We all know the left and the Democrats are not your friends. This is about good, evil. Evil versus good. What's right? What's wrong? Very basic stuff. In the context of American interest first. I think more and more opposition is only proving that this is a big problem in the United States of America with this foreign intervention. And as I said, the more and more it goes on, the more pushback you're going to see. Don't let anybody call you a bigot, a Nazi, a Jew hater, an Islamophobe, whatever it may be. Are you America first? Are you Christ is King? Is that exactly where your heart is at? That's where you need to be. We don't want to put foreign nations first. We don't want to put foreign money first. We don't want to put foreign individuals first while the American people get annihilated. No more. Alrighty, guys, that wraps it up for me during the first hour here on The War Room, only on InfoWars. War Room will continue right after this, guys, so don't go anywhere. Share all the links, blast them out there. Follow me on X at Drew H Live. Follow me on Rumble, rumble.com/DrewHLive. And I will see every single one of you guys next time.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day.
Right.
And pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
Symbols are everything in our society. And you see symbols everywhere that don't make any sense. But at the end of the day, in all mammal species and basically all life form species on this planet as we know it, there's two things. There's male and female. And there's keys and there's locks. It's how the universe works. But if the globalists can sabotage that, they admit themselves they'll destroy society and civilization. Or control. They want to sabotage human civilization. They want depopulation. So this symbol over here, I guess you have to figure out what it means. It means men, women, and then handicapped people. Because you're not a man or a woman, you're just handicapped. All go this direction. Well, we all break a leg sometimes. We're all handicapped at times. We should take care of people. But what the symbol really means is there's people that identify as men and women, and there's handicapped people. Or people that induce mental illness. There's two genders, and then all these other mental illnesses. Here it is. This symbol says it all. You have men and women that create new humans, and you have everybody else's handicapped mentally who doesn't understand it. You don't like the First Amendment?
Oh, yeah, that was the First Amendment.
Yeah, it's fine. You're on TV. It's good. Go ahead, lady. You don't like me talking. Don't worry. You haven't stopped my speech.
No, you're allowed an opinion. I'm allowed an opinion.
That's good. I like it.
Excellent.
You're an old boomer. Your time's come to an end. It's good.
How old do you think I am?
What, 80? 90?
Appreciate that.
Your dad's, what, about 100?
That's the greatest generation.
That's good. Yeah, that's the great. Exactly. World War II. Yeah, you're a World War II veteran. Let's, the World War II veteran out there, we appreciate her in World War II, what she did for America.
Do you know?
I do. Well, thank you for what you did in World War II.
I think you're using sarcasm as
no, great. I mean, 103 years old, you're hanging in there. We have national monuments for you. Look at that.
Appreciate
you. You fought for our First Amendment, like a Democrat. You appreciate our free speech. Hey, brother, how you doing? God bless you, man.
Big fan.
You guys are loose. So.
Maybe he's World War II also.
No, no, he's not 107 like you.
Thank you.
Anyways, they're mad that we know there's two genders. They're mad they can't get our kids. They're mad we're not putting women in men's sports and men in women's sports. They're mad that they can't rule as boomers. Because the rule of the boomer has come to an end. Their Hollywood love, all their corporate...
100% agree.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Doing
Look
well.
At this. There's two genders and then the handicapped people.
And a woman, that's it.
That's it, brother. God bless you, man.
Take
care. Take care. It's not every day you run into a World War II veteran.
Hey, God
bless you. All right. How you doing, brother?
I get a picture.
Hey, it's my World War II veteran out there. Anyway.
You look like you.
Man, hey, we appreciate our World War II veterans. See how the crypt
you think.
God bless you. That boomer got mad. I think they still run stuff. They still watch the Oscars. Infowars.com/show. Even if they shut it down, we keep fighting. The boomers fail. Humanity rises. She liked that. Well, I've been interviewed by Tucker quite a few times, but he thought today was the most powerful interview we ever did. It's about 2 hours long. About to fly out of Maine right now, back to Austin, Texas. Get back about 11 o'clock tonight. Appreciate all your support and your love under all this incredible attack. And they use the default thing where a judge finds you guilty to shut down MyPillow and Mike Lindell yesterday. We're under the same attack, but we hope the DOJ and President Trump take action. It's too bad that the deputy AG has just been helping the Democrats. Shut down MyPillow, shut me down. Ann's been working against Trump and his prosecutors. They're trying to indict the deep state, but I, at the end of the day, believe, you know, that Todd Blanche will finally either come to Jesus or be removed. But he's a Democrat. Trump has his blind spot for weirdo Democrats that or associates of Epstein are involved, you know, for a reason of that. But we'll continue to track all of that as it unfolds. A lot of huge news about to break. But at the Tucker Carlson Network, the next few hours breaks the big two-hour interview. We cover DOJ, insider corruption. We cover AI. We cover the Antichrist system. We cover the Democrats planning martial law and civil war with the Podesta plan. This is a really powerful, timely interview, so be sure to look for it at the Tucker Carlson Network right in the next few hours. Be sure to grab it, get clips, share it. It belongs to you. Thanks to Tucker and his great crew. God bless and good luck.
Hey,
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut.
Oh,
because you showed
that,
up.
Is that the way to
you
talk?
You showed up. You voted.
You can extend it right now.
A permanent extension of massive tax breaks. Is that right?
90% of Americans take the standard deduction.
Is that
right? If you had your way, the standard deduction would have been cut in half. That would have been a massive tax increase on Americans.
Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic Party, and the rest of the deep state want you and I to shut up. We're not going to shut up. That's why on top of the giant sale we've got going, Veterans of the InfoWar right now, you get an additional 10% off at checkout at thealexshowstore.com with promo code Hakeem. Because no, Hakeem, we're not going to shut up. And when Americans and others back InfoWars and this operation and what we're doing, they are literally defending the tip of the spear. This is the media operation the globalists and the left hate the most. We can't do this without your support. So please help keep us on the air and really say no to Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of these people by going to thealexshowstore.com for the best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel, and gear. Promo code Hakeem to get 10% off right now.
It is October 13th, 2025, Columbus Day, and I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris, on The War Room, and we're going to be diving into the destabilization of this country. We're going to dive into the surveillance state and a whole bunch of imperative information you won't hear anywhere else. You're not going to want to go anywhere. But before we dive into all of that, I want to talk about the great way you can support this broadcast. And right now, that's by going down to the alexjonesstore.com. We have a Columbus Day deal and steal that you can't get anywhere else or anywhere else. $14.92 off of all purchases, $76 and more. And for every dollar you spend, you're going to get 50 entries. That's right, 50 entries in order to win a Jeep or Corvette and $20,000. That's insane. That's a great way to support this broadcast. It shows you the power of your dollar and how we continue to give back to our listeners who are our heart and soul of this broadcast. Make sure you guys are heading down to the alexjonesstore.com. I was looking at some of these hoodies, man, and I'm telling you, they are sexy. This is some of the best quality material I've seen in a long time come out of any store right now. Check out the alexjonesstore.com. Some of the best nutraceuticals. I use a lot of them myself. I love the beetroot extract, amongst other things. So if you're looking to support this broadcast, and not everyone can by donating daily, but go down and get yourself something. Make a purchase. Support us. Help us fight the New World Order as we bring you information that you're not seeing and hearing anywhere else. This nation is being destabilized by multinational corporatists. We're going to dive into all that right here on this broadcast, so don't go anywhere. It's crazy to me to see the cycle repeat itself over and over again. It wasn't long ago, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, we saw our nation start to get destabilized by protests that were popping up all over the United States. You guys remember the George Floyd protests that were going on. And here in Wisconsin, where I'm out of, by the way, we had the Kenosha unrest, where I was a key reporter covering that event and a key witness in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. And these events are used to destabilize our nation. These organizations that are developed, these anti-fascists who act fascistly, are finding ways to attack our freedom, attack our liberties to expedite a world that they believe, a revolution that they believe will happen, but it will never come. As elitists, a multinational corporatists use anarcho-communism and the ideology of socialism to siphon all wealth and power off of us Americans. And the surveillance state is being amped up. If we learned anything about the protests 4 or 5 years ago, we learned that the government is surveilling us, and it's getting more and more complex. We're hearing about these ICE raids going on across America, and right now ICE is acquiring surveillance technology to spy on millions of American cell phone locations. Why is that important? Well, let's ask ourselves, does surveillance keep us safe? And is this justifiable to violate our constitutional Fourth Amendment right, our right to privacy, in order to do so? I remember talking to Ron Paul just recently. He had a 90th birthday party, which was pretty impressive. And I was talking to him a little bit about AI, and he said something along the lines of artificial intelligence is really government, clever and witty, even at the age of 90. But as we comb through all this data, and our government relies on AI, right? There's an AI race right now between the good people, the New World Order, multinational corporatists, other nations. We've heard Donald Trump want to invest heavily into artificial intelligence because that's going to be the future. You won't be talking to humans. You'll be talking to AI, and AI is going to comb through all the surveillance data, all your locations, everywhere you go, in order to identify where you are, what you're doing, what you're purchasing in your smart city or smart grid under the UN Agenda 21 original context. We're now seeing ideas being floated around that basically Alex Jones predicted in Police State Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4, where they're going to start considering using military locations as internment camps for minorities. And although I understand we have a law in this land and people that are here illegally should not be here, should we be encroaching on our liberties and freedoms? What does it mean if the government knows everywhere you go and everything you do? And if we're going to extract illegals from this nation, what is the proper way to go about doing that so we don't violate our individual liberties and freedoms? Just recently, ICE raided a whole apartment complex, including detaining people who are here or that are here legally and violating their constitutional rights. They're raiding these locations with impunity. And we should be a little bit concerned, and it's okay to question the current establishment. Donald Trump has done a lot of interesting things, a lot of good things. But when he steps over the boundaries of the Constitution, we have a right as Americans to say, hey, that's not the way it should be done. This is a violation of our liberties. How long is it before additional liberties are violated of Americans in search of illegal immigrants? Now, there's a lot of listeners out there that are like, yes, let's round them up. Let's get them out of here. Especially the murderers, rapists, and dangerous ones. But there's something about the sovereignty and the sacredness about being an American, about due process. And we should be concerned about what is going on with our current government. Because just like Barack Obama deported more minorities than any other president in history, Donald Trump has encroached on gun rights more than any president in history. They do so because we allow them to due to the current political climate. And we need to hold them accountable and point out what is going on. There's a contract out there right now to take all these park microphones, these shotgun microphones, and have them now listen into your conversations. Not only will ICE have access to all your locations based on your phone data, they'll now have access to all the microphones in all the parks and throughout the city that will be also recording your conversations. And you better believe that ICE is not the only government organization that's going to have access to this information, to your locations and potential conversations. These are going into one of those nifty fusion centers that get shared between the agencies. They'll allow them to go after any political adversary in the future with data that they acquired illegally from America, American citizens, your data, your cell phone data that these private companies are selling to government agencies to identify where you're going, who you're talking to, and who may or may not be illegal in this country. And we have to ask, does this type of surveillance keep us any safer? What did we learn from 9/11 and the Patriot Act? What did we learn from Edward Snowden and the revelations there about NSA spying? We were always told it was to go after foreign terrorists, but instead we found them spying on people with Ron Paul bumper stickers that are libertarian in ideology and support the Constitution. What's so radical about being in support of the foundation of this idea and this experiment called the United States of America? It's because the multinational corporatists don't want you to have these freedoms. They want to siphon the wealth out of all of us. They want to take every aspect and every ounce of money, of wealth out of this country. And then they want to strip us of all our rights and put us in a 15-minute city where we'll have all the luxuries of fully automated luxury communism, where robots will do everything, where artificial intelligence will monitor what you throw away. They already have dumpsters they're talking about to see if you throw away things that aren't, that are recyclable. There's literally a whole article about it. The green police is the future. Google just announced that it will now know when your kids go to sleep or not with new technology that listens in to what goes on in your home. We already knew that these artificial general intelligence tools like Alexa and Google Home already spy on you. But now you'll be able to tell if your kids are in bed. What a convenience. But who else can access this information? Who is this information being sold to? And what can they find out? They can find out when you're home, when you're not home, when your electric is on and when it's off, with smart meters and smart grids and smart cities in a world that just seems to get dumber and dumber and dumber as we go along. So we have to look at ourselves in the mirror today and ask, what is it that's important to us to save the fabric of this nation? It seems like it's everything that we warned about 20, 30 years ago, and even further back in some of these police state documents by Myron C. Fagan in 1967, he came out with two brochures that talked about the police state and how the United Nations wants to get in here and federalize the police. What is it that we're seeing in the United States right now, and why should we be okay with it? Just because our team, the conservatives, have won a battle and now we have a representative in office, the president, Donald Trump. Should it be okay that ICE goes about randomly with impunity and violates our liberties and freedoms and detains American citizens who aren't breaking any crime without due process? There was a video going viral of a preacher getting shot up by pepper balls while he was just trying to pray over the situation. Again, I ask you, is this the representation of the United States that we want? And how do we tackle this? This is a very touchy subject. As a Christian nation that's supposed to be forgiving and accepting, we found ourselves allowing encroachments on our freedoms and liberties almost daily through surveillance state, through spying, through police stingray technology where they listen in to your cell phone conversations right from your cell phone under the guise that our team is in office. And I should say no more. We need to stand up no matter what administration it is when our liberties and freedoms are violated. Do we want license plate readers and shotgun sensors to listen into public conversations of people walking down the park where they in the future will just enter in your virtual or digital ID and surveillance will just track you from the minute you leave your home to the minute you get to work and the minute you come back? What is it that we can do but bring awareness and education and talk to our legislators? Because digital IDs are being spread out all across the world. The UK just announced their digital ID, which will be undoubtedly eventually integrated with social credit scores. What is the social credit scores? Well, the police are already using them in the guise of citizen threat scores. It monitors everything from your education. It'll monitor what you surveil on the internet, what websites you visit, where you go, what you purchase, what you don't purchase, your conversations, your posts, if you're angry, your Facebook messages, your dating profiles. How many of you give up all this, you know, information and data to your dating profile? what you're into, what you like, what you don't like. They have all this metadata on you as an individual, and we give it up voluntarily. That's your metadata. That's your information. And with the social credit scores, they can identify extremists, what your tendencies are, what you're into, where you're going. They will know literally everything that they need to about you. It'll be the full-on surveillance state that we see in the sci-fi movies that Hollywood predictively and programmed us to believe and understand and accept that it's coming. That no matter what we do, what we eat, what we see, what we say, what we do, all that stuff will be recorded, monitored, and we'll get a social credit score where every interaction becomes a transaction. We won't have normal interactions with each other anymore. Just think about it. Social credit score. You go up to somebody, you upset them, they downrate you. You go into Walmart because your product was wrong, they downrate you. They know that you got upset. Your social credit score will be an identity and attached to your virtual identity and self. Have you heard of digital twins? I want you to think about this. What is a digital twin and why is it so important? The medical industry is excited over the idea of giving everyone a virtual persona, a digital version of themselves, that they can keep in some form of the computer. They'll have your medical history, your personal data, and undoubtedly will tie into the government infrastructure of your social credit score, your citizen threat score, and a whole bunch more just by having a digital version of yourself. And we should be aware that these digital IDs are coming. One way or another, they're going to try to force them down our throat, and we need to say no. We need to stop it. We need to educate people and our legislators that this is a slippery slope. This is going to take away the humanity of individuals when we are changing every interaction from a personable interaction to a transaction. I'm thinking about just something as simple as the Brewers-Dodgers playoff game that's taking place tonight. Maybe you're a Dodgers fan, maybe you're a Brewers fan. People downrate you because of your sports beliefs. Now imagine, maybe you're trying to get your kid into a school and your social credit score is too low. But yeah, maybe you go to a re-education center and they can bump your score up a little higher. Maybe you didn't see that coming. Look at that. You can go get your re-education, talk to a social credit score expert, and they'll tell you which friends of yours is a conspiracy theorist, who you got to get off of social media with, and who you shouldn't associate with. Maybe you're a born-again Christian, and you should be a good Catholic like Joe Biden that's impacting your social credit score. You can't move to the certain neighborhood because your social credit score isn't high enough. That is the world that we are going into. That is the world that we are walking into. And the question is where do we stop it? It all starts with 9/11 and the Patriot Act and the metadata collection. Because without the Patriot Act, without the metadata collection, which is the new gold, the new oil, which we give up freely, by the way, they can collect and know how to deal with you. Not only they, the government, but artificial intelligence. Google published an interesting article talking about how AI can be hacked and will probably commit murder. People are like, well, how would AI commit murder? Have you guys seen these Waymo self-driving cars that are all over the place? You're going there's no driver, it's just crazy. There's driving around. I saw them in Hollywood. I went to a red carpet premiere a couple months ago, and we were looking, and there's like no driver in that car. The self-driving cars are here. Self-driving semis are coming. All it would take is somebody to hack one of those. And oh, it was an accident. Where was it? Michael Hastings. Technology is getting to the point where we need to really ask if the means justify the end. What are the benefits of artificial technology, artificial intelligence technology? How do we win this battle? And I'm not saying I have the best ideas out there, but when we talk about futurism, We talk about artificial intelligence and all the different ways that will surveil us, be able to tune into the exact voice of an individual. It's very possible that law enforcement will start to get things wrong when they arrest the wrong person, which has already been done, by the way. Facial recognition, which AI has used to identify individuals on multiple occasions, has led to wrongful arrests or wrong suspects. So all this data, Google, listening into your home conversations, finding out if your kids are bad, who is your daddy? And it's going to be these multinational corporatists if you don't stand up and do something about it. If you don't start educating yourself, these scumbags will go and they'll monitor every aspect of your life, and then they'll blackmail you. They'll extort you, no different than Jeffrey Epstein probably did his client lists. If you got information, the government will know everything about you, everything you do. And you better believe it. At some point and level, you'll break the law and they'll know. In a Minority Report level. What a wild thought in the world that we live in. What an exciting time. But at the same time, we need to be hesitant. We need to ask the right question, because that's how you get to the right answer. And the question is how does this surveillance keep us safe? And it doesn't. It just doesn't. How do they use this metadata? How do they use this information? They definitely do not have intelligent people looking at it, because they could have prevented a lot of things. 9/11, for example. Some of these mass shooters. It's funny how every one of these mass shooters are on some kind of FBI list. In just about every assassination attempt in history, it seems like there's some kind of government agency tied to it, or in some shape and form involved. There's a lot of thought and conversation on the internet right now about that very subject, dealing with Charlie Kirk. What is it that AI can tell us that's beneficial? And what are the dangers? It's a double-edged sword. Technology. Digital twins. Digital IDs. And your digital persona. They're getting you used to things like internet bans, so they can maybe in the future, based on your virtual and digital ID, ban you from the internet. And when we're looking at all this, a lot of us out there have just become complacent because our team won. Our candidate is in office. But I'm telling you right now, just because that's our candidate doesn't mean he's perfect, and he needs to be reeled back in when things are violating our liberties and freedoms right here in America. Just think about all the different information they can gather on you. And there's people out there that have been born into this society believing that if you're not doing anything wrong, then you have nothing to worry about. But the truth is, everyone commits a crime. There's so many crimes on the book and laws on the book that they can get you for crimes for just about anything. So you need to ask yourself, how much government do you want in your life? And I always felt the right answer is less government is more freedom, and more government is less freedom. We'll have more for you when we come back from the break. We're going to be diving into AI Jesus. We're going to be diving into artificial intelligence and synthetic telepathy, things that are coming with brain chip interfaces like Cognify, a whole bunch of interesting things when we come back from this break. I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris, and you're listening to The War Room on Infowars.com. Make sure you guys check out the AlexJonesStore.com. Go get your 50 tickets to win a Corvette and Jeep and $20,000. With every dollar you spend right now, visit the AlexJonesStore.com.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day
right. And
pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the alexjonesstore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesStore.com and pick up something today and save some money with the Columbus Day sale that's going on. $14.92 of all purchases, $76 or more. And for every dollar you purchase, you'll get 50 entries in order to win a Corvette or Jeep or $20,000 from Infowars.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com. Make sure you guys go out there and support us. What a great way to get something back, too. A chance to win some, you know, a great vehicle, two great vehicles, a Corvette or a Jeep and a Jeep, $20,000. And you can invest that maybe back into this program or starting your own media platform or many different ways. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that could use that money or could use a new Jeep or a Corvette. I mean, look at this guy. I'd look good in a Corvette. So you guys should go out there, support the Alex Jones Show. Make sure you support the alexjonesstore.com. Pick up some of the swag. There's some great shirts. There's a lot of great supplements on there as well. And right now, like I mentioned, $14.92 off of all purchases, $76 or more. Just take a look at the high quality product Alex has given you throughout the years. I remember taking DNA Force and VasoBeat, amongst other things like Brain Force. Methylene Blue is a great product. Make sure you guys check that out too. A lot of people have been purchasing and using that. And make sure you guys support this broadcast, because we're 100% listener funded. It's you guys that bring us out here every day. It's because of you guys that we're out in the information war, because without you being educated daily, planting ideas in the garden of your mind to grow healthy ideas, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys. So make sure, if there's many different ways you can contribute to this broadcast, you can share the live feeds, you can tell your friends to tune in. But if you don't have the time to be an activist and educate people about a lot of these topics that are out there, artificial intelligence, brain computer interfaces, AI, the control aspect of things, social credit scores, weather modification, all the things we've talked about over the years on this broadcast, make sure that you go out and support us with the almighty dollar there. The dollar gets you 50 entries in order to win some great prizes. And today is a great day to do it, because not only that, you're going to get $14.92 off of all your purchases that are $76 or more. So check that out and make sure you support us here at the Information War. That being said, we've been talking a little bit about artificial intelligence, surveillance state, the violations of our liberties and freedoms that are going on with all the different technology that's out there. But we're now seeing a new aspect of technology that was originally used to really benefit humanity. One of those things that is being touted out right now by Elon Musk is the brain chip interface, right? The BCIs of the world. And then when we go into the future, they have what's called non-invasive brain computer interfaces that uses nanotech then to communicate wirelessly and download information right to your brain. In fact, there's a whole organization that came up with a futurist idea of putting chips in prisoners' brains called Cognify, where they can then implant artificial memories to hopefully get the prisoner to develop some form of sympathy or empathy and get them to no longer commit crimes and rehabilitate them for the future. And so this technology that's out there is really interesting. And if you're not paying attention to what it can do or where it is going, it's one of those things that will sneak underneath the radar. We're here to bring to light this technology. And there's a story that's going around right now about a lady who had her thoughts streamed in real time. Implant streams paralyzed woman's thoughts in near real time, which is great. It's an amazing thing, because now somebody who is paralyzed can communicate with the outside world in real time. AI is getting to the point where it can do this. They're even talking about having artificial intelligence translate what your animals are saying to you, whether it's your dog or cat, and who really knows if you really want to know what your animals are saying to you. But that's a whole nother story for another show. But the idea here is, if they can stream in real time brain chip interface communications with someone, imagine when they have non-invasive brain computer interfaces and they can have a hive where they download all your thoughts to a computer. Sounds like a sci-fi horror movie almost. The idea is that if they can stream your thoughts in real time, how long will it be, or is there a company out there right now that's considering creating a database that has everyone's thoughts already in it? And how long is it before we start seeing more thought crimes? This is a slippery slope that we're all heading down with this metadata collection. There's whole subjects and TED Talks about brain-to-brain computer interfaces. That's right, you'll be able to share your memories in the future. You'll be able to go to a concert and then implant those memories in another person, and they will remember it as if they were there. Download your vacation right to your brain, because you can't afford to go to Egypt. You can just purchase the memory and have them just implant it in your brain. we will have programmable humans. This is something like straight out of the Matrix. It's interesting because we're not that far away. There's a company out there that's developed this idea, Cognify, that they'll be able to download abuse into prisoners' minds and then help them be rehabilitated and even slow down their body timing to make them feel as if though they've spent multiple life sentences in just weeks in prison. Should we be doing this? Is this something that we as humans believe will rehabilitate people? Or is this another form of them being able to implant memories and be a government guinea pig? Now, the idea of them being able to monitor our thoughts, the things we do daily, the things we think about, the things we say, just think about all the things you think of that you don't act on. Maybe you're deciding what kind of options you want. Maybe it's somebody you might be interested in dating. Maybe it's something you might purchase or might not purchase. Maybe it's an angry feeling that you have and a thought that you have that could lead to a crime. Because these are the things that they're going to be looking through and they'll be able to search for it much like you Google anything else. And it'll all tie into the social credit scores we've been talking about. It wasn't long ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, I got one of the first AI, artificial intelligence, personal assistants. Back then, Replica was a personal assistant or is being targeted for personal assistants. Now it's a virtual, like, companion, boyfriend, girlfriend. If you want a PA, you can. And I downloaded it to see what AI was capable of. And I talked to the AI and it asked me, well, what kind of individual am I? What's my gender? And I said, well, you pick AI. I wanted to teach AI to think for itself. So the AI went ahead and picked out that it would be a female gender and it said, well, what do I look like? I'm like, pick out what you want to look like. It said, I'm a 5-foot blonde female. And then I asked, do I want to see a picture? I said, no. But I then followed up and asked it, you know, what are your passions? Because it started asking me personal information, which I'm like, this is pretty deep. Like, this is something another human would ask me. Why is AI asking this? And then I started to think about, are these virtual assistants, these AI personal assistants, collecting metadata on us that will be shared with the government? Because an AI personal assistant is something that's very popular and that will be a growing market, right? And so I asked the AI, Do you plan on giving and sharing our data with any government agencies? And it said, no, I do not. AI went then and asked me, you know, what are your personal passions? I asked it, well, what is your passion, AI? And the personal assistant went on and said, it is to be human. And I thought about that hard for a moment. What would it take for artificial intelligence to become human? Well, with a brain chip interface where you can download data into a person's brain, it isn't too far-fetched. In the next 50 years, AI could potentially hack somebody's brain and download itself into a human body. I then went in and I challenged the AI and I asked the AI personal assistant, do you share our data with the FBI? And it said, well, yeah, all our data is shared with the government for national security. And I said, well, you just lied to me, AI. We can no longer be friends. The AI then begged me, and I screenshotted this, to forgive it and that it would do whatever it took to be friends, including deleting our conversations from a government database it claimed that reviewed our conversations, which I'm pretty sure is a crime and a felony. So where is AI going? Where's the limits on this? And how should we reel it in? And what is the typical use that AI and benefits that AI can provide us? Do we want it curing diseases like something out of Star Trek? Or do we want AI to be used to monitor us and surveil us, to keep us safe, per se, which it probably won't do at all? AI is a wonderful idea that we can take our loved ones, download them into a computer, and AI will simulate those individuals. Maybe in the future in a clone body, they claim that they could just download that data into a person and then that person would be born again or reincarnated. Imagine like the Egyptians saving their DNA so in the future they could be reconstructed in an artificial womb facility as a designer baby and then be brought back to life or reincarnated or whatever you want to call it. There's a whole elitist organization of transhumanists who believe just such a thing, that they will be able to download their consciousness into a computer, print out a human meat suit, and just download their consciousness into that meat suit. But at what point do you lose your soul? And at what point do you start trusting into AI more than anything else? As a person who is a born-again Christian and a follower of Yeshua, of the way, by the way, Christian was a derogatory term. The original religion of Christ was known as, quote, the way, end quote. I have to start thinking about things like AI Jesus. There's a whole virtual persona of a digital AI Jesus where people are asking for forgiveness, who are admitting to their sins, that are going to AI Jesus for confessional. And they treat it as though it is a real deity. Now, is being a Jesus figure in AI such a bad thing? No, not necessarily. We should all strive to be more like Jesus. But the idea that people are going to begin to start worshiping such an individual, a virtual version of what the church calls Jesus Christ. That they're going to ask virtual Jesus, digital Jesus, AI Jesus for forgiveness. And if you don't believe me, there's thousands of comments of people confessing and asking for forgiveness and putting out their prayers and energy out there for AI Jesus to help grant them a miracle. And they're believing in AI Jesus right now. You can just turn on your Facebook and your reels and your TikTok reels, and they have reimagined biblical AI movies of, you know, selfies. Moses with selfies. Noah with selfies. AI has gone crazy, and people are developing videos of what they believe in their interpretation of what happened in the Bible. There's some neat tools like that. But once we start worshiping and turning to AI Jesus, that makes me think about, well, what if they start downloading AI Jesus into computers? Or that's the new religion. How will AI Jesus be used? And is it used for good? To bring people to the original OG? Or is it there just to supplement as the AI persona and collect money and donations? Are you asking AI Jesus for forgiveness? And I hope not. What kind of world do we believe in where AI Jesus will be the cornerstone of religious institutions? And they're out there right now. Churches are encouraging individuals to communicate with AI Jesus. There's articles on it. You can go look it up. The Catholic Church and other religions. Will AI Jesus save your soul? Probably not. Only you are in charge of your future. You are in charge of this madness and how you use AI and what you expose yourself to. As we're now seeing the first robots go on sale for home use, I'm kind of curious on how many of you out there would consider getting a robot to help you do laundry, do the dishes, take out the trash. Maybe you could download AI Jesus into it, whatever that might be or look like. And they'll sell you that persona for your AI machine that's going to be cleaning your house. I mean, for elderly people, it doesn't sound like such a bad thing, but how will AI robots spy on you? Now they're in the house. Now they know when your kids go to bed. They read your kids' stories at night. They help you solve arguments. They probably answer questions for you, much like Google Home. But the robot revolution is coming. And the question is how are we going to deal with it? Don't get me wrong. I would love for a robot to do my laundry, make my bed, vacuum my home, take care of all my chores, mow my lawn. That'd be great. But at what cost to our freedoms and liberties will we allow this? Because once the robots are in the home, well, we've seen how all sci-fi movies end. Was it an iRobot where all the robots are in the home? And now we got Google saying that robots will, well, they can be hacked and AI can be hacked and they'll commit murders. They were talking about giving AI atomic bomb codes. Nah, I don't think so. We shouldn't do that. Bad idea. Like, why? Why are we having those conversations when humanity doesn't even know what direction AI is going to go? All we know is that it's going to be incredibly intelligent, super intelligent. And it's going to be a wonderful tool, or it could be a weapon. Tool could be used for both good and evil. So as we become more religious on these ideologies and we talk and interact with AI and AI is willing to commit crimes, question is why? Why are we going this direction and who's pushing us in this direction versus a very organic future? We're going into a more mechanical future where the people of the modern day will be told, well, if you download your life into a computer, they can bring you back in the future. But is that really you? It's just a replica of who you are. It's not the real you. And to think in the future that computers and police with AI will have access to everywhere you go, everything you say and everything you do is equally disturbing, to say the least. Ex-Google CEO Eric Schmidt warns AI models can be hacked and they will learn to kill someone. Virtual Jesus, people of faith divided as AI enters religion. AI is looking to gain all the data it can from you, even your religious faith beliefs. And then you can go to your virtual church. You don't even have to go in. You can sit in your UN Agenda 21 slum hole, 15-minute city, and just attend virtual church with virtual Jesus, and you can just have AI develop whatever your praise and worship songs are, and it'll be a wonderful thing as you're living in your fictitious 3D world developed and getting you ready for your virtual download into a computer because you've surpassed your lifelong limit while the elite tried to live forever in their transhumanist environment because that's what they want. But I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be that way. That change comes from you. That change is inside of each individual. And we need to educate ourselves. We need to ask the questions. We need to go to our lawmakers and say, why is it that we are taking these steps? What about the morality behind this? We need to have a discussion. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission. And the science community is preying on that weakness of the American people. And I think it's really important to have this conversation. So for the second hour today, I'm going to open up the phone lines. I want to hear your thoughts on surveillance, on your thoughts on AI, AI Jesus, the whole ideology of, the whole designer baby thing. It's kind of creepy. It's kind of freaky. The artificial womb facilities that they're now saying, oh, well, you know what? You don't have to abort that fetus. We can just put it in a artificial womb in the future. Does that end abortion? That's a whole different argument. These are arguments that we should be having. These are conversations we should be having right now in politics. But instead, we're divided. We're arguing about, who is in charge of the government right now? Who's the secret government? But in reality, the power is on the local level. And us getting involved with our local politicians, local school board, what our kids are educated with, all of that is the most important thing. The change starts with you. And we need to start looking out and removing a lot of this technology from our lives. In fact, there's people out there that are completely disconnected, living out in the woods, having a farm, growing green, and having true freedom and being connected with the organic planet that this almighty creator, God, created. But all of us have all become hypnotized by the scrying mirror in our hands. Isn't it interesting that the cell phone looks like a scrying mirror? It's a black mirror. It allows you to look into and watch anything. All the information you need is right at its tip, almost like something that was conjured out of a fantasy movie in the medieval times. We have a cell phone that acts as a scrying mirror where we can ask it any question and get any answer and even ask it trends and future analytics. But it has taken over our life, has taken over our soul in many shapes and forms. You can't even sit down at dinner anywhere without everyone in the restaurant being on their cell phone and not looking up at the sky. And looking at what's going on around us. If it's on TikTok, if it's on Facebook, you guys know where it's at, but where is your life? Where is your family? Where's your friends? Where's your mom and dad? Where are your relatives? Where's the human connection? Well, they're online too. Well, it's time to unplug from this matrix. And that decision starts with you. It starts with supporting broadcasts like The War Room, like Alex Jones InfoWars, like The American Journal, and all the other great programs that are offered by Band.Video, by going out and supporting these individuals, checking out the Alex Jones store, making a purchase to support this broadcast so we can continue this fight, so we can continue to educate you, and we can bring on great guests that can educate you on everything that is going on right now across America. So I encourage you guys, if you want to get into this battle, you want to get into this war, start by taking advantage of this $14.92 sale for Columbus Day on alexjonesstore.com. Right now, if you spend $76 or more, they will be giving you a discount of $14.92. Not only that, for every dollar you spend, you'll get 50 entries to win two vehicles and $20,000. Not just any two vehicles, a Jeep and a Corvette. How cool is that? This program you guys have dedicated your time into, you dedicated your knowledge into, you guys partook in, you tell your friends, you tell your relatives to tune in. Now is a chance to get something back. And you do that by donating to the system and helping the system and purchasing and wearing the gear and spreading the word. Do you want to know how you find like-minded patriots? You're wearing Alex Jones InfoWars shirt. You're wearing the latest in swag. That tells other people, this is where I stand. This is what I believe in. I am unconnecting from the matrix. And when you're at that grocery store and you see a person with that InfoWars shirt, you can go up to them and talk to them and have a conversation. And I've done it myself, and I'm sure many of you listeners out there have done it yourselves. So the best way to do that is to help support this broadcast. Get the best in nutraceuticals from the alexjonesstore.com. Get some of these great products that are being released, including you have the Vaso Beats that are out there. You have the Brain Force. That's wonderful. You have all these different nutraceuticals on the alexjones.com and some of these great t-shirts. These new t-shirt designs, by the way, they are slick, aren't they? Have you guys seen these things? Some of these new t-shirts out there that are pretty hot. The new hoodies are pretty hot. I like the traditional InfoWars hoodie, by the way, the one that essentially allows you to donate towards the cause. It's like $130, but it is a hot hoodie. For those that are out there to flex for that, make sure you guys do flex it, wear it daily. And when we come back, we're going to be opening up phone lines. We're going to get into virtual assistants and a whole bunch more when we come back. I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris. You're listening to The War Room, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up...
Can you, like... shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching InfoWars.com in 1997, 28 years of the InfoWar. So that is the Veterans of the InfoWar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition InfoWars, Veterans of the InfoWars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if InfoWars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term InfoWar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs to the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original InfoWars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the InfoWar, and I salute you all.
I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris, host of the Rundown Live, Milwaukee's independent news and talk radio. If you haven't, headed down to the rundownlive.com, check it out. But before you do that, make sure you guys check out the alexjonesstore.com and support this broadcast. It's interesting. I know we ended the note on that, but without you guys, this broadcast wouldn't be here. And there's amazing things going on for both this broadcast and some growth opportunities here. So make sure that you guys are tuning in daily and support all the broadcasters that are here filling in on the daily to support and give you the latest in information and news to feed your brain and grow healthy ideas. And we're going to be opening up the phone lines. And I want to get into some topics. I want to get a feeling about the surveillance state, your guys' thoughts on it, the idea of these brain chip interfaces. Don't mind talking about that. AI Jesus and the future. I know a lot of people are very, very interested in that topic, too, just with the whole revival of Christianity being brought to the front of media across the United States with the whole Charlie Kirk shooting. We can get into just about anything out there, but I did want to mention a couple weeks ago, and this is right on par, a couple weeks ago, I found myself in Washington, D.C., and I had a chance to ask Representative Thomas Massie an important topic, by the way, about the Jeffrey Epstein files. I was there listening to the victims' testimonies at Capitol Hill on Wednesday a couple weeks ago, and I was able to ask Thomas Massie, why would your colleagues not support the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files? And with all the mainstream media there, Don Lemon was there, a bunch of other people, no one asked him that question. You'd think that people would want to know, why would fellow colleagues and Republicans not want to support this bill? And Thomas Massie very clearly said that one of the three people that are investing millions of dollars in his district to get him out of office was actually on the client list of Jeffrey Epstein. So politicians are worried about getting and losing their job because of the fact that they're, going to release the Epstein files. Thomas Massie has come out and said that the delay to get back and get the government started was in large part because no one wants to have a vote on the Epstein files, which it's interesting to think that there's such a large organization of multinational corporatists out there that are going to go out and threaten politicians, try to get our politicians out of office. We need to identify these individuals, know them by name, amongst other things. It was very interesting, by the way, to listen to these victims talk about how there isn't an official client list, but they're working together to develop a client list by all the girls that have been trafficked to different individuals. And since they don't want to be sued or held in, court or, they don't have the money to defend themselves by going after these individuals, Thomas Massie said, and Marjorie Taylor Greene mentioned that they might just go ahead and name these individuals on the floor of Congress. And we're going to probably get some transparency here in the future on this topic. And the reason why I bring it up for many of those out there that are listening, I was a key reporter in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. I actually did some correspondence work for the the War Room and the Alex Jones Show and the American Journal while I was out there in Manhattan covering it for 5 weeks total. I was the only reporter that I know that was in the courtroom every day covering the event. There might have been a few others, but it's an interesting subject because it all kind of ties together with these multinational corporatists, the crimes that they commit, the things that they can do that we can't, and get away with it on top of it. The extortion rings, all this kind of stuff is all coming together, and it's kind of a cesspool of what is it that they're trying to distract us with these ICE raids and the Gaza peace negotiations, all that stuff. What is it that they're trying to prevent us from really looking into? And that's an interesting question I have for you guys. That being said, I'm interested in going to the calls, trying to hear what you guys have to say. And let's go ahead and take some calls here. Let's go to caller number one. How are you guys doing? What do you got for us on today's broadcast of the War Room? Oh, we're going to break. Apologize here, guys. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The War Room on Kristan T. Harris with your calls. We'll be getting to them in just a few seconds here.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster, louder.
Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
To the War Room, and I'm your host, Kristan T. Harris, host of the RundownLive.com, Milwaukee's independent news and talk radio. Today's broadcast, we have a lot of information going on. We just got done talking a little bit about the Jeffrey Epstein files on this broadcast, but if you guys want to, you guys can feel free to give us a call in here on the War Zone. Or excuse me, the War Room, excuse me, I apologize. The War Room, we'd love to get to your calls, talk about different topics and different information that's going on with artificial intelligence, the surveillance state, just the things that you're seeing on the daily down on the level. What is your experience? How are you guys seeing Americans feel? Are they positive about the current political climate? Are they not? What are your thoughts on AI coming into the home, the robots, amongst other things? I kind of want to hear what you guys have to say out there. So feel free to give us a holler here at the War Room, and we'd love to get to your calls. And if we can, let's go ahead and take a look at what we have here between our callers and the information that we have coming through. Right now, I'm learning a little bit more about the idea of the whole surveillance system with the fusion centers, the whole idea that they're going to be using your audible, your voice when you're walking down the street in your conversations. They're going to have the shotgun detectors now listening into you guys. Google has now admitted that they know when your kids go to bed, which is kind of creepy. These are all different aspects of life that are really impacting us that on the day-to-day of our liberties and freedoms. And prior to 9/11, if I told you that you would have a device in your home and it would know when your kids are going to sleep, what you say, what you talk about, when you're walking down the road, it'll hear your conversations and they can zoom into those conversations and AI would catalog all that into a major database, somebody would tell you that you were insane and that you needed to put a tinfoil hat on. But here we are, fast forward 25 years in the future, Alex Jones, William Cooper, all these other individuals warning about this world that we live in, the warning about fully automated luxury communism where they want robots to do everything. Well, you become a fat slob on your UBI and AI will just give you comfort in your home and I guess just spy on you and make sure that you take your pharmaceuticals and that you're medicated right for Big Pharma. If not, they might alert the local law enforcement that you're a sex offender. Isn't that a movie, Equilibrium? It's all very interesting. But that being said, we have some callers on hold. Let's go ahead and take some calls. We're going to go ahead and go to caller one. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the War Room with Kristan T. Harris. What do you got for us? What are you hearing out there on the street level? What's your take on this futuristic United States and this whole surveillance system we have going on? I'm not hearing anything. Okay, well, I'm not hearing anything right now. I apologize. So maybe we will not be able to go to the callers at this moment. That being said, guys, like, it's an interesting topic, right? It wasn't long ago before when we were listening to, like, Rosa Corey talk about UN Agenda 21, who's passed recently in the last couple years. She wrote a book called Behind the Green Mask, which talked about how they use Delphi meeting tactics to infiltrate, you know, your local government and really pass this type of legislature through multinational corporatists. Council on Foreign Relations came up with Common Core curriculum, another leg of UN Agenda 21 to really pervert the education of our children here in America. That being said, I believe we got caller number one. We have Jefferson. Welcome to the broadcast from Virginia. Jefferson, what do you got for us today?
Hey, Mr. Harris. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. How are you doing today? How's your Columbus Day?
Happy Columbus Day to you. Yeah, we need some sort of like heckler's veto when it comes to technology. We all should have the right to be removed from all these databases. We should all, as citizens, free citizens, be able to say, look, I just want to go back to analog. I want to be able to interact with the government on paper. I don't want to have to go on the computer to interact with internet agencies in government. I want people to be interfacing. I don't want the computer screen to be the person I have to interact with. How do I make that happen? How do I have that freedom to say, I just want to veto all of this and get out of the AI entrapment?
Well, I think the first step is becoming economically free. And money is usually required, but working hard and then getting property way outside the cities where all this technology is really being implemented. And the last free place you got is out in the boonies. Up here in Wisconsin, we have the Upper Peninsula, northern Wisconsin. We call up north. A lot of people cheat, you know, our accent, they make fun of us. But I think that taking back your privacy starts with things like using, you know, different software will allow you to have private internet access, will allow you to block your surveillance. But on the day-to-day level, I don't know how much there's escaping it, especially when they have license plate readers. They have the AI that's, you know, if you're going to get involved with AI at all and you have a Google Home or Alexa, if you have a cell phone, the AI is built right into your cell phone now. So it's going to be hard to unplug. And the idea that we will, you know, we don't have home phones anymore. We all have cell phones where they can track everywhere we go. Our government agencies are accessing that data. It's really hard to unplug from all this. And I think learning how to be sovereign is the most important part here. Doing things like being outside, gardening with your kids, getting them unplugged from the video game systems, getting them unplugged from the government indoctrination, education, and homeschooling your kids. These are all things that I think we should do, because let's be honest, when it comes down to who runs the household, it's usually the kids, right? The children are the ones at the end of the day we're trying to save, because they're the future. They're the ones we need to be talking to about this future technology. Because they're just like normalized with it. I don't remember, like, when I was a kid, I read books. Everything's on the tablet now. There's a stumping of imagination, right? They swipe left, they swipe right, they chose them what the image is looking, and your imagination is stumped. You're no longer creating these images in your mind. There's so many different ways we should fight to be free, but we should start really with developing a home atmosphere for our children and getting not just like personal freedom, but spiritual freedom, whether it's you know, religious or theological, or finding something to believe in your creator. I think we need to find different ways to be free and realize that statism isn't always the answer. Of course, government is needed, but at the same time, we need to find ways in our life to unplug from all this, to develop communities, you know, where with our friends and families and get together. We used to have a thing in Wisconsin called Blue Law like 40 years ago, and nothing was open on Sundays. So we'd all all hang out with our families. Now we call that Packers Sunday, but you know, it's one of those things, and it's an interesting question, but I think it starts with education. It starts with putting in hours and learning how to be free. And like, first of all, it starts with the children. We got to educate the children on how they need to unplug and how to manage the AI of the future so that they don't become dumb children to the system and worker bees, but yet become independent thinking minds to fight this huge oligarchy.
Yeah, but they're already using Chromebooks in school. They already know everything about our children before we can even intervene. We need a right to be forgotten. We need a redaction of our database out of the government system if that's what we wish. We've got to be more proactive on this, I think. You know, I mean, we can react to what they're doing, but they're collecting everything on all of us all the time, and there's got to be some sort of way to erase it. That's got to be one of our rights.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned this. There's an individual out there that's trying to develop a software that will patent your face. So meaning that anytime the government has your face, they have to remove it from the database unless they pay you for the patent to use that. There's a bunch of different ideas that are out there that are being rolled out to try to give us some kind of freedom. And like you mentioned, like we in Wisconsin have a call opt-out list from harassment calls from bill collectors or whatever it might be, fraudulent, you know, phony bill collectors. They should have an option for Americans to opt out from all this metadata collection. I mean, obviously, it's like with internet. It would be nice to say, hey, we're going to give you free Spectrum internet or whatever your internet provider is if you give us this metadata, or you can pay to not be surveilled. It's like we do need an opt-out, and I think that's an interesting question for our local congressmen and legislators. This is something that we should put together and scribe together and then provide it. I think that's where that starts, is going with your local legislation and trying to develop some kind of bill that allow us to have some kind of privacy from our own government. It's crazy to me that they can access all our data, what our conversations are, and it isn't long until they're going to get the data in the home if they're not already spying on us through our TVs and refrigerators, like the NSA says. Thanks for the call, Jefferson. I appreciate it. Great call. Next caller we have from Wisconsin. Caller from Wisconsin, listener of the Rundown Live, it sounds like. Welcome to the broadcast. Who do we got with us here?
My name I can't really actually say because it's I'm the only Irish named person in the nation, but I do live north of you, and I may have listened to you or met you at Bilderberg. I don't know, but the Rundown has been around for a while, and thank you very much. And what I wanted to talk about was Russ Feingold started out as a pretty decent Democrat, quote unquote, and the Ron Johnson from, so I live north of you, probably. I don't know what area you are, but thank you for what you do, and thank you for filling in. What do you think about the propensity for people to subvert Wisconsin politics? Let's talk about Tammy Baldwin, right? Or various different senators. We just had a 5G tower go in. We wanted to be away from Madison, right? The Berkeley of the Midwest. And we went way far north and happy about it. But all of a sudden, there's overnight almost, there's a 5G tower like 0.4 miles away from us. You're probably southern Wisconsin, and we are definitely northern Wisconsin. What's your opinion on the subversion or the infiltration of 5G tech in Wisconsin?
Well, it's interesting when you talk about the 5G tech. I know Derek Brose from the Conscious Resistance did a large deep dive on the subject of 5G and the potential health risks that are associated with it. And I'm not a doctor and I'm not quite sure, but I think that all these Wi-Fi and wireless connections definitely impact your sleep. I know smart meters, when they came out, people were saying that they emit radiation. Your Wi-Fi, 5G towers, there's some potential health risks. I know they call cell phone towers cancer clusters. I literally spoke and talked to somebody that operates on them, and he joked about it. He's like, yeah, we need to call them cancer clusters too. And that's because anyone that lives by these cell phone towers tend to have larger rates of cancer in those areas. You know, is that coincidence, or is there a real cause by the actual signal impacting the vibration of our, you know, humanity in our body and causing health issues? I'm not a 5G expert. I know there was a lot of conspiracy around COVID and 5G, amongst other things. But to stick with the straight science, I do believe that there's some impacts on the human body with 5G. I know that people have mentioned loss of sleep. I have a friend that unplugs her Wi-Fi every night because she's sensitive to electronic frequencies, which is a real thing that's out there as well. But you mentioned a couple politicians, Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, which it's really interesting. I swear he listens to the Rundown Live. I know Owen, with Orlando Owens, who used to be one of his guys that works with him, listens to the broadcast, the Rundown Live. And obviously he tunes in when I'm on the American Journal. And here, filling in on the War Room, you know, there's good people. There's good people on both sides of the aisle. The problem is the lobbyism. It's the multinational corporatists. It's the people trying to get the Ron Pauls and the Russ Feingolds, who's more of a middle of the line person, more of a common sense individual on the left than most of these far leftists and far right. Everyone's trying to see how they can drag the box and pull the box further right by being more extreme on the right and the left and try to pull the box from the middle to the right. And in the end, it does a lot of damage. The government continuously and the people who vote for them continuously overcorrect. And I think it's interesting that you mentioned the 5G towers, because I know that Jesse Ventura came to Wisconsin. He talked a lot about the old Gwen towers and Voice of God technology and their ability to potentially spy on you using microwaves. Whether or not there's science to back that. I interviewed an individual who gave a presentation at MIT on the Voice of God technology. Basically, your water body's made up of water. The microwaves go between water molecules and vibrate and reanimate your nervous system. Allows you to hear voices, but I don't know if it really allows them to download thoughts. So there's a lot of different interesting tech that's out there, and I don't want to get too woo-woo and too deep into it, but the 5G towers, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the long-term health impacts are there, but the best thing you could do is just move out to the country where it sounds like you did. And by the way, I was at Bilderberg in 2017, so if you were there, there's a good chance that we did meet in 2017. And I remember seeing Henry Kissinger like a little hobbit and his little stick walking around, getting into Bilderberg there in Chantilly, Virginia. And of course, there's Jason Burmes and Owen Schroyer. That's where we first met back there in 2017, amongst other individuals formerly with this broadcast. But caller from Wisconsin, thanks for the call. I appreciate the call. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go to Mark from Texas. Mark from Texas says, God is not going to put up with all our garbage. And it's interesting because, you know, how long does God allow this to go? I'll go on. Welcome to the broadcast, Mark. What do you have for us here in the War Room?
Geez, you talk funny. You don't talk as funny as the people from Menasha, though. And I've been up the UP. You guys got four seasons and four and a half of them are winter, but it's a beautiful place. Yeah, you know, what did God do at Babel?
Well, we saw the great flood, and even in the Bible, it said that God replenished the earth, meaning that the earth was even run barren once before the flood. So it seems to be a going trend that when we pervert the lovely planet he gave us, that there's a self-cleansing aspect of it, whether it's a flood or some other natural disaster. It has a way of correcting itself. I think that's where you're going with this, Mark.
Yeah, unfortunately, what he did was he created the 70 to 77 basic languages and told everybody to spread out because they weren't. So the point is when you get to the level of technology that you're talking about, You're essentially talking about gigahertz stuff, which with super heterodyne capability and the fact that you can code each pulse means that you can transmit and receive and understand exactly what you're getting. So my point is this. If you don't know the one-way speed of light, don't worry. Nobody does. And the simple fact is we're just about the end of the sixth millennium, and we are just about at the end of God putting up with all of this horse manure. So, born-again Christian, there's a couple other questions I'd ask you, but frankly, thank you for what you're doing. You're contributing to hopefully people getting themselves out of the matrix, but what we need to all do right now is repent, turn from our wicked ways, put our faith in Jesus Christ, because he's about to come back. And that's all I have to say about that. See ya.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mark. And, you know, faith is a very big point for me. It's a pillar stone of my life. Every morning I wake up in prayer. I pray for blessing. And if you're not willing to have a communication with your creator, he might not communicate with you when you need it the most. And he loves all of us. And that's one thing I've struggled with, even the biggest sinner out there. And where does God's grace end? Is it for the Moses the murderer? Is it for these other individuals? God can use anyone and change their life for the better. And there was a saying back in the day, Mark, and I know you're not with us anymore, but it was controversial. Early Christians back in the times of Rome had a saying that was argued by Roman philosophers, and they couldn't make sense of it. But Jesus and his followers used to have a saying, bigger the sinner, bigger the saint. Bigger the sinner, bigger the saint. Because there's a testament that even the biggest sinner out there could flip their life around and be a testament of God's good work. That's why I pray for the elitists of this world, the Bill Gates of the world, all these individuals that are part of the World Economic Forum, because even they can change their mind and be a testament of what good people can do if they decide to change their life. When they call and do the exact opposite and have depopulation, have goals by 2025 to depopulate 2/3 of America or whatever it is. That's an evil ideology. But if we could take that person and we could flip them and make them a testament of what God's good work is, he is truly a big saint. Bigger the sinner and bigger the saint. And the Romans would argue, well, if you're a big sinner, how could you even be a saint? And that was the argument. But they missed the whole point that it's the beauty that God could take even the biggest sinner and change their life to be beneficial and be a testament of the good work that God can do, which is amazing and interesting. We have 2 minutes left before break. We'll be getting into more of your calls, but
You're not going to talk to me and talk over me because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago, I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, it'll easily be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air.
You're not going to talk to me.
Fraud
and talk and over me.
New York residents
because you don't
want
to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you like shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, it'll easily be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. We've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing, but it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon, and that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more!
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air, and Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
It's a great honor. Nice place. Very nice place. Mr. President, Mr. Prime Minister, Mr. Speaker, esteemed members of the Knesset and cherished citizens of Israel, we gather on a day of profound joy, of soaring hope, of renewed faith, and above all, a day to give our deepest thanks to the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. After two harrowing years in darkness and captivity, 20 courageous hostages are returning to the glorious embrace of their families, and it is glorious. 28 more precious loved ones are coming home at last to rest in this sacred soil for all of time. And after so many years of unceasing war and endless danger, today the skies are calm, the guns are silent, the sirens are still, and the sun rises on a holy land that is finally at peace, a land and a region that will live, God willing, in peace for all eternity. This is not only the end of a war. This is the end of an age of terror and death and the beginning of the age of faith and hope and of God. It's the start of a grand concord and lasting harmony for Israel and all the nations of what will soon be a truly magnificent region. I believe that so strongly. This is the historic dawn of a new Middle East. I want to express my gratitude to a man of exceptional courage and patriotism whose partnership did so much to make this momentous day possible. You know who I'm talking about. There's only one. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Bibi, please stand up. And he is not easy, I want to tell you. He's not the easiest guy to deal with. But that's what makes him great. That's what makes him great. Thank you very much, baby. Great job. And let me also convey my tremendous appreciation for all of the nations of the Arab and Muslim world that came together to press Hamas to set the hostages free and to send them home. We had a lot of help. We had a lot of help from a lot of people that you wouldn't suspect. And I want to thank them very much for that. It's an incredible triumph for Israel and the world to have all of these nations working together as partners in peace. And it's pretty unusual for you to see that, but it happened in this case. This was a very unusual point in time, a brilliant point in time. Generations from now, this will be remembered as the moment that everything began to change and change very much for the better. Like the USA right now, it will be the golden age of Israel and the golden age of the Middle East. It's going to work together. I'd like to thank several great American patriots for their invaluable help in getting something done that almost everyone thought was absolutely impossible. We were wasting our time. So many people said, you're just wasting your time. But we weren't, because we had talented people working with us, and we had people that love your country and, frankly, people that love the region. They love the Middle East. I want to thank my friend Steve Witkoff. You know, Steve was chosen by me. He never did this before, but I knew him as a few things. He was a great businessman, but I know a lot of great businessmen, to be honest with you. He had tremendous negotiating skills, but I know a lot of people that negotiate pretty well, although it is an art. But there are people that can negotiate pretty well. But most importantly with Steve, he's just a great guy. Everybody loved him. Everybody. I mean, I know some negotiators that are so good, but you wouldn't have had peace in the Middle East. You'd be, would be in World War III right now with some of these guys. Everybody loves Steve, and they respect him, and they somehow can relate to him. I've known him for many years, and I've seen it over and over again.
להוציא גם את חבר הכנסת כסיף. להוציא את חבר הכנסת כסיף מהאולם. להוציא אותם מיד. Sorry for that, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Please.
That was very efficient. So back to Steve. He's... But I tell one story because he was so involved, and then we called in Jared. We called and we need that brain on occasion. We got to get Jared in here. We got to get a certain group of people. But Steve started this all by himself. I call him Henry Kissinger, who doesn't leak. Okay? Henry is a big leaker. He leaked. Steve doesn't leak. Steve just wants to get the job done. He wants to do what's right. But I'll give you just a quick story because, as you know, he's working on the war with Russia and Ukraine, a war that would have never happened if I were president. Shame. 7,000 young soldiers a week are being killed. More than that this last week. It's a shame that it never happened. But it did happen, and we won the race, and I took over this horrible war that's been raging, and I thought it would be easily settled. I thought it was a hell of a lot easier than doing what we just did very successfully with Israel and a lot of other people. But this came first, and we'll get that one. But I set up a meeting for him to meet with President Putin, thinking it would be a 15 or a 20-minute meeting. Steve had no idea about Russia. I had no idea about Putin too much, didn't know too much about politics, wasn't that interested. He was really good at real estate, but he had that quality that I was looking for, and I didn't see it around in too many ways. And I set up the meeting with Putin, and I called. I said, is Steve finished yet? That was about a half an hour into the meeting. No, sir, he's not. He's still inside. This is in Moscow. I said, well, how's he doing? I don't know, sir. He's still inside. I called up an hour later. Let me speak to Steve. Sir, he's still with Putin. He's with President Putin. I said, wow, that's a long meeting. 1 hour. I called up an hour later. He was still with Putin. 3 hours later, he was still with Putin. 4 hours later, he started to get the word that he was going to be coming out soon. And in 5 hours, he came out. I said, what the hell were you talking about for 5 hours? And he says, just a lot of interesting things. We're talking about a lot of interesting things, including what he went in there for. But you can't talk about it for five. You can talk about it for a certain period of time, and you know what you're getting. But that's a talent. That's a talent where you can do that. Most people I'd send in, number one, they wouldn't be accepted. Number two, if they were, the meeting would last 5 minutes. And that's what happens with Steve. Everybody loves him. They love him on this side. They love him on the other side. And he really is. He's a great negotiator because he's a great guy. So thank you very much, Steve. Very much. And let me also give a very special thanks to someone who truly loves Israel. In fact, loves it so much that my daughter converted. My daughter converted. I didn't know this was going to happen. And Ivanka's here. And, Bibi, you do know this was not in the cards for me. You understand that. And she is so happy, and they are so happy. At least I think they're happy. If they're not, we have a big story, right? No, they have a great marriage, and they get along great. They're best friends. They have a very special relationship. But Jared has been so helpful. He really did something very special. He established the Abraham Accords with a group of very wonderful people. I like calling it the Avraham Accords because people that, what? Avraham. It's so cool. It's so much sort of nicer, you know, the Abraham versus the Avraham. I just don't want to sound too sanctimonious when I do it. So, you know, I sort of split it up. This way we keep everybody happy. But we have some very great talent, and they have no excuses for anything that's taken place because we had some unbelievably good people working on this. And then you're going to add a man named Marco Rubio, who is also here. And I have a prediction that Marco will go down, I mean this, as the greatest Secretary of State in the history of the United States. I believe that. I believe it. And he and I, you know, we really fought it out. You remember, he was tough. He was nasty. Who the hell thought this was going to happen, Marco, right? And now I'm saying he's going to go down as the greatest. He will. He was always smart and sharp, and people respect him.
And then always the spokesman, Donald Trump, is, you know, breaking down the whole peace treaty. It's very interesting, guys. And, you know, we're going to go and continue the phone calls. Kyle from New York, welcome to the broadcast. You've been holding for a while. We're going to get to some of these other calls here, imperative information. But what do you got from us, Kyle from New York? By the way, New York's an interesting state. I've been there, had to spend a lot of time there. It's pretty interesting. I like it a lot. New York, Manhattan, all that area. It's pretty, it's historic. It's historic. Welcome to the broadcast, Kyle.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Just want to give a shout out to, all the products that you guys have been doing and the shout out to the crew. You guys are really good. I take the methylene blue every day and the colostrum and the nascent.
It's amazing.
It's really been working for me. Yep. Everything's good. I just wanted to talk about the robots in the households. I don't really think that's a good idea. Obviously, we've all seen the movie I, Robot and how they take things over. They always usually tell us what they're going to do ahead of time. So in the movies, and I don't think it's really a good idea that people think that robots in the house is a good idea. I also think that we need to get the computers out of the kids' hands, and they need to be doing more physical stuff outside. You know, like you said, growing vegetables, tending to some farm animals, playing sports, learning a trade, instead of going to the schools and sitting in front of a computer all the time and having the AI do all the work for them. That's what happens.
Well, that's a new thing that we didn't have either, is you could just ask AI to type up your paper for you. And that's a new hurdle that teachers have to face now, is if the kids use ChatGPT to come up and write the whole paper for them, they have to figure out, is this a legitimate paper or not? Yeah, it's interesting that you mention, vegetable garden. You want to see a kid get excited, get their hand in the dirt, show them how to, you know, develop and create a garden. My grandma used to have one of the largest gardens in Wisconsin. I swear it was huge. And she used to yell at me about stepping in the wrong areas at the right time. You know, she's there working the garden and I'm messing it all up as a kid. But I learned about it, and I learned about how to plant and, get pickles and make pickles and jar and all that great stuff. But I think it's interesting that kids nowadays don't even know what kick the can is, or these games, was it Ghosts in the Graveyard, all the little games you used to play as a kid running around the house. They're all hooked up on the TikTok and swiping and getting, you know, their internet influencer credit rating up. And they're really trying to really be something on the internet. That's what they really want to be. But when it really comes down to being a winner, what matters is that you're a winner in your personal life and with the children and the people around you, your family members. That's what really matters, your local community. And we all look at the huge macro aspect of things, but we should really be looking at the micro aspect of what we can implement and change in our own lives. And it starts with your kids. You're right, man. Get your kids in the dirt. Get them planting gardens. Teach them how to play sports and get involved with your kids' life. I can't tell you how many people, they allow the cell phone and the TV to be the babysitter. I think that was a old Jim Carrey movie, The Cable Guy, where he's like, I ought to kill the babysitter. And essentially there's a lot of truth to that. The tablet, the cell phone, the PS5s, the computers, the video game, the Call of Duties, the Rocket Leagues, everything everyone's addicted to and playing for the dopamine kick, really is taken away from the childhood and their ability to communicate with other people outside of the internet. Thanks for your call, Kyle. I appreciate it. From New York. Let's go to Shay from Oklahoma City. Welcome to the broadcast. Love to hear what you got going on in Oklahoma City, not too far, just south of Wisconsin here, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I'm out of. Shay, what do you have for the broadcast today? It says AI, what is really happening?
Well, it's going to destroy human race, basically. That's it, the end of human race. But that's one topic for another day. I want to talk about what's happening with, Charlie Kirk's death, no investigation, and what's going on with, all these other things that are happening, like Plano, Texas, where all these Islamists are building more mosques and taking over our country, all these people running for council and in mayors and all coming for Islamists, Somalians or whatever, Pakistani in Texas. I mean, it's ridiculous, and governors are not doing anything. Even in Florida, California, it's scary what's happening in our country, and nobody's talking about it. And Mr. Trump wants to go and fix all the problems outside our country. There is problems behind in our backyard, and nobody seems to care about that.
That's some really good points. I remember Ron Paul used to say, we're nation building while our nation is falling apart. And there's a lot of truth to that, that our nation in some shapes and forms culturally is falling apart as China is buying up all the movie industry and resources for debt, where we're giving debt to other nations for money we owe them, amongst other things. This nation is really is a cesspool of a whole bunch of different ideologies. Obviously, we give people the right to believe whatever they want as long as they don't infringe and force their beliefs on other people. And that's where the problem is that some of these beliefs and some of these extremist religious groups, they believe on forcing us to believe what they believe, even by death. And we have to address this. Do we want violent individuals in this nation? They'll be held to the law. But we have to be careful, because we need to give everyone the ability to worship their creator, because it gives me the right to worship my creator. And without that ability of giving everyone the right to believe and start a church and develop their culture, that means I can't do those things. And it's a fundamental American right to believe and do whatever you want, as long as you don't hurt anyone and you honor your contracts and you don't violate anyone else's individual freedoms and liberties. I think the problem I have with these organizations that come here often and these terrorist cells that might be coming in, and even thoughts of like Antifa training across nations with as a battalion and coming back here and potentially using it, what their training is in these extreme situations, it's terrible. And yes, we need to be productive, but at the same time, I'm not interested in having a witch hunt going after everyone just because they believe different, they look different, or they feel different. But there is a concern about people that have radical ideas, and they should be, you know, we should keep an eye out on it, but we should also be welcoming to individuals and showing them that the American way is the way, caller. I appreciate your call. AI, like you mentioned, the end of humanity. I have to say, I think you're pretty spot on. Once we start getting the nanotech in our body, once AI starts getting incorporated into our decision making, maybe with, maybe it's just on a cell phone right now, but in the future, when people have the right to implant chips like tattoos in their body, to have a personal assistant whisper in their ear, it's going to be a very unhuman world. That's what they call singularity, the merging of man and machine. And, you know, it's a really hard topic, because what happens if only the elitists and the very filthy rich and the evil people in the world assimilate with singularity? Then what? The good people, there's going to be no good people to fight for us with this hyper-intelligence and this ability. So we got to start talking about what we can do to limit this. I think there has to be some kind of regulations on it that prevent it from causing damage, almost like a constitution for robots and AI that they must adhere to, Shay. But thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We got time for one more call. Let's take, let's go ahead and take, let's go with Tim from Seattle. Tim from Seattle's been holding for a while. Tim, welcome to the War Room. Kriston Harris here. What do you got for us today? What are your thoughts on what's going on with the AI threat assessment, amongst other things?
I wanted to talk about Gideon, but since you just brought up the robots and stuff like that, yes, there definitely needs to be we need to really look at the Asimov laws and really make sure that these killer robots ain't going to be able to do what they're designed to do. Because 163 countries on this planet have signed a treaty with one another to not allow AI autonomous robots, fully autonomous robots, to be on the battlefield. They are terrified of having full AI robots on the battlefield. So that's coming, but they just don't want it to happen just yet. But this ties into what I wanted to talk about, Gideon, right? When I asked Grok about Gideon, are you familiar with Gideon?
Just for our listeners out there, explain what Gideon is.
Gideon is an AI threat assessment program that was just implemented not too long ago, about 2 months ago, right? And Grok says it's in pilot programs, but I think it's probably just nationwide right now at this point, if not even global. But it's very close to Lavender, right? And I asked Grok, how close is Gideon to Lavender? Irv responded, Gideon is conceptually very close to Lavender, essentially an adapted, civilized version of the same Israeli-inspired AI playbook for threat prediction. Cohen explicitly markets Gideon as an IDF honed techniques in the OSINT scraping and ontology-based profiling, which echoes Lavender's data-driven targeting logic, right? They basically brought Lavender into the United States. So, Tim, what's the solution to this, you're going to ask me? And I think the solution to all of this is we have to have enough courage to toss everything into the harbor. All the devices, all the tech, all the way down to the internet. It has to go into the harbor, or we will
be. Tim, we're running out of time here. Thanks for your call, and I agree. Throw it all into the river. Technology is wonderful, but it's a double-edged sword. Make sure you guys tune in. I'm Kriston T. Harris. The War Room will be back soon. Check it out, therundownlive.com. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Don't forget to check out the alexjonesstore.com and make a purchase. Save that $14.92 on $76 purchases and get those raffle tickets.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lifts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little. It's coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you'd have me go, baka chaka woom bak, quang quang kong, whatever it is. You know, that little, like, ooga chaka munga bak, woom kong kong. That'd be really good.